It's another episode of Magic the Amateuring, streaming live to you from inside your TV set. So tune the channel to Channel Magic.
That's right. And even if you wanted to turn it off, we actually are beaming directly into your house.
Yep.
From a satellite which you cannot find. It is in space.
That's right. We're like Big Brother, like those telescreens. We're always on somewhere. Mm-hmm. You can't turn us off. You can turn the volume down, but guess what? We're still there and we're still watching you.
Exactly. We are always on.
That's why it's extra creepy when you listen to us and you're pooping. Hey, I'm looking at you, pooper. Who's pooping right now?
I'm not looking. I'm respectfully averting my eyes.
That's really nice of you. I'm just not going to because I want it to be awkward.
Oh, I don't get why you do that. I really don't.
It's part of the human experience to like really look into somebody's soul as they make a bowel movement.
If you were a dude, would you look at other guys while you were peeing at a urinal? Would you turn and make eye contact with the guy strangers? Next to you? Would you?
Because, okay, ooh, it depends.
What does it depend on?
Am I having a conversation with them?
No. This is just a stranger.
Okay, if I'm feeling especially creepy that day, yes. If I feel like I could win in a knife fight with this person, yes. If I feel, however, I would lose, probably not.
That's probably smart. Good decision making all around.
Thank you.
Well, everyone, this is a podcast about Magic the Gathering.
Yeah, we're for new players, players returning to the game, and anybody who likes to have laughs from their chuckle bins.
Yep, I personally enjoy the laughs that come from my chuckle bins the most. I'm Megan, one of your hosts.
I'm Maria, one of your other hosts.
And today we're also joined by special guest Greg.
Yes, Greg will be talking to us about Commander 2015, some of the spoilers that we've seen. We had a Commander preview card on this show, and guess what? We're going to talk about that, as well as all the other good Commander cards in this set. And there were some new mechanics that came with this, some cool new stuff that was released besides just the cards in Commander.
Absolutely. So, Maria.
What?
Let's get ready.
For what?
The zombie apocalypse.
Oh, I thought you were going to say this jelly.
Nope.
Everybody, I want to say before we get into the segment, though, that this is our first episode, Megan, that's going to be released in conjunction with the professor over on Tolarian Community College.
That's right. Please go check out the episode over on Tolarian Community College. We are so excited.
They're going to be up there every Friday, so if you're listening to this on Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, won't be there yet. But Friday, guess what?
It will.
It will be there.
We also have an episode of Magic the Prothering available.
Yes, it's up there right now.
It is already on there. So yeah. Go check that out.
Episode 1 of Magic the Prothering on Tolarian Community College's YouTube page. Go listen. I'm not going to tell you who it is just because
I... Can't we say who it is now?
I don't know, Greg. What do you think?
Sure, go for it.
All right.
It's special guest Eric Froelich. We're super excited.
Yeah, the interview is really crazy and great, so go over there and listen to it. Who knew Eric was so into Home and Garden?
It was a surprise to all of us, I think.
Yeah, but if you want to hear more about that, go check it out on the professor's YouTube page. It was made possible through Patreon, thanks to you guys up there supporting us on patreon.com. If you want to join our family, just head over there and throw like a dollar away per episode, whatever you want. It means a lot to us, and if you enjoy the show, just consider supporting it a little bit. It makes stuff like Magic the Prothering possible.
Sweet.
I want everyone also to know that this podcast is being recorded as we're being stared at by a cat.
Yeah.
It's weird. This strangely unsettling.
What's up, cat?
Do you think it sees our souls?
Yeah, I mean, definitely.
Do you think it sees all the bad things we've done?
Yep. They're like a shadow that surrounds you.
Oh God.
Hey, you guys. This is Greg. You may remember him. We talked with him at GP Madison. He ended up making day 2, which was super sweet. He was also the person who told us about the time that he forgot that he could touch the void his opponent's face. Sorry to bring up bad memories, Greg.
It's okay. I learned a lot from that story.
That's true.
And that's what's really important.
And so Greg's here because Greg is a commander, what would you say, expert, fanatic, fangirl, what's the right word?
I think fanatic is maybe the right word to go with it. I play a lot of Commander, especially with my family, so my brothers mostly.
Oh, that's adorable! Cute.
Yeah, that's how I got back into Magic. We all played it when we were kids, and when the very first Commander expansion came out, like 5 years ago maybe, me and my one brother got into it, and then we got our third brother into it, and now the three of us, every time we're together, it's all we do. So
that's really amazing. And you know, you reminded me of actually when I was at GP Madison playing a draft, that there was a brother, an older brother, and his two younger brothers in a pod with me. Aww. And I thought that that was just the greatest thing ever, because like, what a fantastic thing to do with your family. Like, you're learning things, you're playing a game together, it's fun, it's sort of competitive, I don't know. And I was just kind of like getting all nostalgic, like, I wish me and my sister grew up playing Magic, you know. Mm-hmm. Anyway,
my brother and I would have had a way better relationship.
I feel like that's true. I mean, common, you know, a common interest. Mm-hmm. So, Greg, first impressions, Commander 2015, what do you think?
All right. Maybe we should start by talking about some of the legendary creatures in this set, because it's Commander, and all the face of Commander decks are the legendary creatures.
That's so very true.
There, we have this. So when I look at one of these Commander sets, what I'm really looking for is commanders that scream build around me. Because when you see a legendary creature in a normal set, you know, they have to design it for standard and modern, and they might not be able to make it super exciting and build around for a commander deck. But in Commander, you can do really, really wacky things, and a lot of times the wacky things that you do in your deck are dictated by your commander. And so these commanders that are always in the expansions really scream to you. They have a theme, and they say, okay, this is how you should build your deck. And there, if you're a new player getting into Commander, you really should look at one of these commanders, because they're the most obvious ones to build around, and it's a really good guiding point for building your first Commander deck.
All of these commanders are really yelling at me.
They're screaming.
You can hear them.
It is quite loud in this room.
I have a question. So if you're a Commander player who's in franchise like yourself, do you look at these new commanders and think, I'm going to put them in an existing deck that I already have and kind of make something out of that? Or you're like, no, I'm building a new deck. This is my crack. Give it to me.
A lot of the times what will happen is I'll have a deck that I already have with a commander, and I'll see a new commander and I'll think, okay, cool, like I have this thing going with this one deck, but I'm going to transition it to this new commander who does it even better. For example, and I'm going to name some cards you might not know, but last year I had a mono-black commander deck with Kuan Ogre Ascendant from Champions of Kamigawa. He's an ogre. He's one of the flip cards, and he's like a 2/4 or something. And if three creatures die, he turns into an enchantment that causes everyone to sacrifice a creature at the beginning of their upkeep. He's a really obscure card, so I had this mono black deck all about making people sacrifice creatures, and it was cool, and I liked it a lot, one of my favorite decks, but when they came out with the mono black commander deck last year, I switched it to the planeswalker, Obnixilus of the Black Oath, who was one of the less overwhelming commanders. Not a lot of people liked him, but I figured I'd give him a try, and the whole sacrifice creature theme worked really well because they would protect Obnixilus really well, and I could get him to his ultimate, which is really powerful. So I would say that's what happens the most, is you'll take a commander that you already have, and since these ones are more fitted for the commander format, you'll say, okay, I was doing this with this commander before, but now I'm going to switch it to this new commander that just came out.
It's kind of like when you see a new pair of pants, but you don't want to get rid of your old pants, so you just sew that new pair of pants onto your current pair of pants, and you have four legs.
Yeah, that is what happens to me every time I want a new pair of pants.
I know. It's a good thing I have four legs, you know. If I only had two, it'd be extra weird.
And they have no way of knowing, because it's a podcast.
I know!
Maybe you do.
Perhaps I'm like a spider. Perhaps there's six.
Eight.
How many legs are there? Wait, it's six eyes, eight legs?
I think they just have like eight and eight. They're getting real symmetrical up in here.
Really?
Or do they have like those clustery eyes, or is that just flies?
Gross.
I don't know.
That's
man.
Flies.
Look, I didn't design spiders, okay? Don't tell me it's gross.
Cluster eyes. You use the term cluster eyes.
Yeah.
You mean compound eye.
Sure, whatever.
But also, I don't know how many legs a spider has.
Eight.
It's eight. Definitely eight.
So we're sure.
How many new commanders did we get in this set?
So there are 10 new commanders. There are five that are the face of the deck. And then there are five backups. And all of which... So if you get the deck and you decide you don't like the commander at front, there's another option for you. And I believe they all include another commander of those two colors that's old. So you actually have three options if you get the deck. And if you choose that you like one more than the other, then you can start customizing your deck, building around the theme.
So these commanders are available in pre-constructed decks that Wizards is selling. So yes, a really easy way to get into the format if you haven't tried before.
Absolutely. So do we want to talk about what some of them do? Or
sure. Yeah. Like which one?
Tell us about some really exciting ones.
Some that excite you, yeah.
Sure. So the one that I really like, probably my favorite of the bunch, is Karlov of the Ghost Council. So he's a white-black commander, and he's a 2-2. And he says, whenever you gain life, put two +1/+1 counters on him. And for two mana, and you can remove six +1/+1 counters on him to exile a creature.
Hmm.
So
seems pretty good.
The reason I like this guy is part of what I was just saying before. When you look at him, I have tons of ideas of what to put in a deck. I think of all the cards from all the sets that gain life. Gain little bits of life, gain a lot of life, have lifelink. And I'm like, okay, let's throw all those together and make a big pile of cards, and we have a deck. And the other reason I'm drawn to him is a lot of times with things like a life gain deck, what'll happen is you'll put out a bunch of cards that gain life, and you'll go up to like 60 or 70 or 80 life, whatever. And then people will start kind of getting really big board presences, and the fact that you have 80 life won't matter. They'll find a way to tick you down. But Karlov, even if you've gained a bunch of life, he's a win condition because he becomes a really big creature, and he gives you a removal. He gives you a way to stop your opponents. So you can take this life that you gained, and instead of just sitting around and doing nothing with 80 or 90 life, you can turn that into ways to deal with your opponent's cards and to actually win the game.
A lot of people do nothing with 80 or 90 life, you know, like, geez, you know, go volunteer at like a animal shelter. You know, just because you're 80 doesn't mean you can sit around in your pajamas all day, grandma.
Maria, this is not the workout your personal issues with your grandmother podcast.
I'm sorry, grandma, I love you.
You can find that podcast under our alternate podcast called Issues Maria is Working Out with Her Grandmother. Google it.
So we also, for the new commanders, we also have the experience counter mechanic. So the five commanders who are on the faces of the deck all have an ability that if they're in play and you do something, you get an experience counter.
And experience counters are new, right?
Yeah, this is a totally new mechanic. Other than poison counters, it's the only counter that players can have.
Sweet.
Ooh, that's kind of cool. And they even made a new like little token to go along with this, right?
Yeah, there's a sweet little token that just says, place your experience counters here. It's very, trust me, commander board states can get really complicated, and there are dice flying all over the place. So, is that six sitting there because that's the number of experience counters I have? Or was that the number of +1/+1 counters on that guy? It's a mess. So having somewhere to keep track of your experience counters is great.
Just a little home for them.
Yeah. So, for example, let's talk about this Izzet guy,
Mivix.
I'm not going to try and say that.
Mizzix of the Ismagnus.
There we go. What? Say that five times fast.
Yikes.
So what he does is whenever you play an instant or sorcery spell with converted mana cost greater than the number of experience counters you have, you get an experience counter. So playing one for one gets you one. Now you have to play one that costs two and so on. And while he's in play, or she maybe actually, the instants and sorceries that you cast cost one less mana. So what you can do is you can build a deck with all these really powerful instants and sorceries, start with some cheap ones, and then build them up. And then you can cast things like, I don't know, like a big stroke of genius to draw a bunch that draws you X cards, or like blatant thievery, which is a big spell that takes all your opponent's permanents that's really expensive. But with this commander, you could play all those cards for really cheap.
Very.
Oh yeah, cool. Costs one colorless less to cast.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or go ahead.
No.
I was just gonna say that our friend Daxos, who used to be of Miletus, got real dead during Theros.
Yeah, he's returned.
Remember.
Yeah.
He returned. He's a zombie soldier. And he says whenever you cast an enchantment spell, you get an experience counter. And then he has a little activated ability for one white, black, put a white and black spirit enchantment creature token onto the battlefield. It has this creature's power and toughness are each equal to the number of experience counters.
I love
you have.
That. I want to make flyers. Oh, wait, it's just a spirit. But
it's just a spirit.
Oh, I always get tripped up with that.
It's really confusing because there's some flying spirits and then there's non-flying spirits.
In real life, I believe all spirits can fly. Let's get real.
I don't know.
Do you think there's ghosts that can just all they can do is shuffle.
Maybe they're like tethered to their grave.
Oh, jeez.
Whoa.
It's a sad life.
Dark.
Or unlife.
Yeah. Or unlife. Yeah, these both seem really, really fun. And like, I would think Commander is kind of like a deck brewer's paradise, right?
Absolutely. My favorite thing like is just listening to people talk about their Commander decks, because often people just have such wacky ideas. There's so many times where I go to a game store and I mention that I'm a Commander fan, and someone will say, oh, I've always wanted to build a Commander deck around blank, and then they'll just go off for 5 minutes, and I always say, just do it. So if you're listening and you're not into Commander and there's some idea in the back of your head, just do it. Just build the deck, see what happens. It might be terrible, it might be great, but you can continue to modify it always. And Commander decks, I don't know, to me, and I think also my brothers, our Commander decks are just a work of art. Like, I think about it so much, and all the little pieces you can manipulate.
Yeah, absolutely. It is like your like piece of art, you know? Like, yeah. I created this. I birthed this Commander deck into the world. It is my baby art child. Question.
Yeah.
Yes. How many Commander decks do you have? When you have to think about it, it is a large number.
I know that I have a nice box that holds 6 Commander decks, and that I have more than that. I think it's around 7 or 8, probably. It kind of fluctuates. Sometimes decks will go out of favor, and I'll stop using them. But I'll, like, keep them or take them apart if I need the cards. So I'd say around 7 is pretty accurate.
Wow.
That's 700 cards.
That's true.
Yes. Holy crap.
It's a lot of cards.
Do you have a deck that you're like, this is the one I take out when I just want to win? Or do you just more prefer to build something that's creative and unique?
I think, I like to build decks that are both creative and unique, but can also win.
Sure.
I think that some people will prioritize the creativity and uniqueness over winning. The best thing is when you can go to a game store and there's someone who clearly just plays because they want to win, and play all the most powerful cards, and you can take your synergy driven deck that's really kind of creative and cool, and you can beat them. Be like, well, you know, I'm doing something really wacky with cards you've never heard of, but hey, I can still win. So
nice.
That was like the worst answer because I said both things. But
it's okay.
Some of my decks are certainly stronger than others.
You're just a politician, man.
Yeah. Yeah. You're working both sides of the issue. Also, if you're like the hyper competitive person in the playgroup, right? Like the other three can gang up and take you down.
That is true.
So something else that's interesting with this Commander 2015 spoiler is the confluence cycle.
Yeah, Greg, tell us a little bit about the confluence cycle.
Sure. So the confluences are, there's one of each color. Fiery, verdant, wretched, mystic, and righteous. And they're like...
Fucking white.
Get off your high horse, white. We get it. We get it, white.
No, white's the best color in Magic. I don't know what you're
White's kind of like the suburb of Magic. Let's get real.
Everyone, most people get a little bit older and they just want to, like, move into white.
So there are 3 options. Mm-hmm, and it says choose 3, which seems silly because there are only 3 options, but you can choose the same mode more than once. So for example, let's say Verdant Confluence, the green one, you can either put 2+1/+1 counters on a creature, you can bring back a permanent from your graveyard, or you can get a basic land out of your deck. And this card is sweet because it's relevant at all times in the game. Well, it costs 6, but 6 can still be the beginning of a Commander game. So you can, if it's early in the game, you can get out a bunch of lands from your deck to help you ramp or get the colors you need. If it's late in the game and your graveyard's really full, you can get what you need, or you can buff your commander to get in there for some damage, or you can do whatever combination of the 3 you need. Say you need 2 permanents from your graveyard and 1 land to help you cast them. The confluence has what you need.
That's super sweet.
Yeah, it's a little disappointing that only 2 of them are instants. Only the blue and the black one are instants. The red, green, and white ones are all sorceries, which makes them a lot worse and is kind of unfortunate. The green one, I'm not surprised because mana ramp doesn't tend to be at instant speed, but I think the red and the white one could have been instants.
Oh, man. Mystic Confluence, 3 blue, and one of the modes is draw a card, so just...
You could just draw just three
draw
cards.
Three cards.
Yeah, this and card looks a lot like Cryptic Command to me. It can counter a spell, it can bounce something, it can draw a card, or whatever combination you need.
That seems pretty sweet.
With the white card, you could gain 15 life, potentially.
You could gain 15 life in three triggers for your Karlov guy.
Yep, that's true.
Pretty sweet.
Yeah, very true.
Oh, cool.
Sweet. So those look pretty cool. I like that they went with, you know, being able to choose more than one mode.
Yeah, it's like you didn't get to play with Cryptic Command or the commands when they are all profane command. I mean, maybe you played them in Modern Masters or whatever, but
And there's a new set of them in
with Ojutai and
Ojutai's command and Atarka's command.
Yeah, that's true. So it's another little way for that to happen for you.
Very cool. There's also another new mechanic called Myriad.
So what Myriad does, it only works in multiplayer games. And when you attack with a creature with Myriad, you get a copy of that creature that will come into play attacking for each opponent in the game. So if you have a 4-4 with Myriad, let's go with the white one. It's a Sarah Angel, a 4-4 flying vigilance, and it has Myriad. So you can attack with it, don't even need to tap it. And sometimes you're in this awkward situation in a multiplayer game where you don't know who to attack. No one's really winning, and it's political, so you don't really want to make an enemy. You don't want to be that guy. So you just... But these solve the problem. You can just attack everyone at once and try to beat everyone down and win the game that way.
Very cool. That seems fairly powerful.
Yeah. So I think... I really like the red card with Myriad. It's a 5/3 haste. Sometimes the problem with some of these Myriad creatures is they're kind of just creatures. They sit around and they don't really do much when they come into play. And there's a they might just not survive. If it's a 4-player commander game, there's usually a lot of removal, a lot of board wipes. So like this green card, it's an 8/6 trample. Sure, it might attack, but you might not even get a chance, or maybe not more than once.
Yeah.
But this red guy comes down, swings at everyone for 5. That seems pretty sweet to me. I'm a big fan. Also, the blue one, if it hits a player, you get to draw a card. And drawing cards is great in Commander.
Oh, yeah. Megan and I realized that when we were just playing one-on-one Commander, that drawing cards is just, I mean... It's so critical. Like, the games go so much longer, and you just need to refill your hand. My white deck did not have any, like, card draw.
Yeah.
So it was a little rough.
Well, it's hard to get resources out in the suburbs. JK, they get all the money.
JK, they have, like, shopping centers and that kind of business.
Yep. Anyways.
So the most exciting card with Myriad, though, is there's an equipment. It's called Blade of Selves.
Whoa.
And what it does is it gives the equipped creature Myriad.
Whoa.
So you can put Myriad on whatever creature you want. And the sky's the limit with this card. There's so many ridiculous things you can do. For example, you could put it on a creature with a cool Enter the Battlefield effect, like a Solemn Simulacrum, that whenever it comes into play, you get a land. Lands are really important in Commander. So you can do things like that, or with a cool, like one of those dragons that when it comes into play deals 5 damage. If you give it Myriad and attack, then a bunch more copies will enter the battlefield, and you get a bunch more damage that you can do.
Like a Dragon Lord Atarka.
Yeah, pretty much. Although, sadly, Blade of Selves doesn't work with legendary creatures.
Oh, that's true. I didn't think about that.
Although maybe they would come in,
but you wouldn't get to attack them.
Right.
So you'd get the trigger.
Right.
Deal 5 to different things.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't get to keep it around an attack.
Which is sad with this card, because I've heard so many people with really aggressive commanders, like if they have a Zergo Helm Smasher deck or something like that, people are saying, oh, great, now I can attack everyone at once, which doesn't quite work with your legendary creatures because they'll die by the legendary rule.
Fair enough.
Man, I should have gone through these and picked cutest card.
Maria, you really should have. We do have a really pretty card, which is Seal of the Guild Pact. Have you looked at it?
That is pretty.
It's very pretty.
The reason I just said that is because Sandstone Oracle, I don't know, look at that. I love the art on that.
It's really pretty.
It's pretty.
It's not really cute.
I don't know if I'd call it cute,
call
though.
Her cute.
Yeah. Before we leave that card, Sandstone Oracle is actually, I think this is my favorite card in the new
really?
Bunch. So what Sandstone Oracle does is it's an artifact. It's a 7-mana, 4/4 flying. And when it comes into play, you pick an opponent, and if they have more cards in their hand than you, you draw cards equal to the difference.
Oh,
there's
snap.
A draw card. It'll go in any deck. It's colorless.
The reason this card is sweet is because red and white decks tend to really struggle to draw cards. And having a card like that that you can put in any color deck and draw a bunch of cards, catch up to the blue player who has 35 cards in their hand, is sweet.
Nice. Real nice. So do you have any other, outside of the legendary creatures, which we've talked about some, do you have any other new favorite cards from this set?
Yeah, I really like the black board wipe. There's a black card. I'm blanking on the name. Oh, Deadly Tempest is the name of the card. And it destroys all creatures, and each player loses life equal to the number of creatures that were destroyed this way.
Ooh, wow. Very nice. Yeah.
So removal is really important in Commander. Board states tend to get really big, and people are trying to do crazy, crazy things. And if you let them do crazy, crazy things, they're going to beat you. So cards like that, where you can take people down, are really nice. You can just kind of, if someone has, say, infinite tokens in play for whatever reason, you can just... You can just end the game.
Infinite damage.
Did you know Groot's in this set?
Groot?
What?
Great Oak Guardian. Tell me that's not Groot.
No, that is.
That is definitely
a straight
Groot.
Up Groot.
There's also a goat. This Pathbreaker Ibex.
Oh, let me get a closer look at this goat.
Oh, he's pretty cute.
Where's his face? Down?
Yeah, it's like down while he's charging.
Beautiful. Aww. Great goat. Okay, noted. I'm noting that goat.
The goat
has been noted. This is a fairly small spoiler. Is this it?
Yeah, I think there are 50 new cards in the Commander expansion. There are a lot of reprints, which are nice. Commander cards tend to get kind of expensive, especially because you're looking at cards that are in really old sets that have never been reprinted. For example, I know they reprinted High Market in this set, which is a good example. It's a land that lets you sacrifice your creatures to gain life. Sacrificing creatures can be really good in Commander, so that's a pretty popular card that they reprinted in some of the decks to help its price go down, which is sweet.
Okay, nice. It's let it be written, Pathbreaker Ibex is the cutest card of Commander 2015.
Oh, wow. Poor Sandstone Oracle. It tried so hard.
It did. It really did.
It was too noble.
It was it was more noble, like noblest card.
I deem thee noblest card.
So you're gonna be building with one of these cards, that black white commander?
I'm not sure. I actually haven't put too much thought into these commander decks quite yet. I might kind of see what the popular ones are and then try to pick one that not many people are building around and go with that. I was looking at this Anya Merciless Angel. She's a 4/4 flying that gets +3/+3 for each opponent who has half their life or less. And if one of your opponent has half their life or less, she's indestructible.
Cool.
So to me, that being aggressive in Commander is really hard because you're trying to take out a lot of players at once. But I think a deck with her where you try to deal a lot of damage with red direct damage spells, and then she comes down and she's a 10-10 indestructible that can finish off all your opponents sounds really fun to me.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet.
Also, something with this Gruul Death Priest, who whenever someone sacrifices a permanent, you put a +1/+1 counter on each creature you control.
Whoa.
That's just begging to be abused in a fun way.
Absolutely. Seems sweet.
Yeah. Or this Sphinx. I guess now I'm just like listing all the commanders, but that's fine. These cards are exciting.
That's like what the point is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Sphinx says whenever you cast a spell, you put your hand on the bottom of your library and draw that many cards. So you're just constantly shuffling through your deck.
Yeah.
But I think, I don't know, some sort of deck that tries to get out Sphinx's tutelage and then just cast a bunch of spells and mill your opponent. That sounds pretty fun.
Snap.
Although Mill is not good in Commander, I warn you. But
100 cards is a lot.
Yeah, especially with multiple opponents. But never let a challenge get in your way.
So Megan and I had a Commander spoiler for our show, our very first spoiler ever, in Awaken the Sky Tyrant.
Yes.
And I want to know from you, from the horse's mouth, from the Greg's mouth, is this card a garbage pile?
Yeah.
Our first spoiler.
Well, not every card can be a winner.
You have to start somewhere.
That's true.
So what this card does is whenever it's an enchantment, it's red. And whenever a source an opponent controls deals damage to you, you sacrifice it and you put a 5/5 dragon into play.
So it's a 5/5 for 4, potentially.
Maybe.
You know, maybe.
And a 5/5 for 4 isn't that great in Commander. Yeah. When all things are considered, if you're trying to do, you're trying to build some really heavy synergy deck, then just getting a 5/5 beat stick isn't very exciting. So.
I have never heard anything called a beat stick.
Really?
Before.
That's like a magic terminal. Like
you can go online and buy a beat stick if you really want.
I don't know what that means.
I think you do. Oh my god. Well, thank you so much, Greg, for giving us a walkthrough of some of the more exciting points of Commander 2015.
Yeah.
This actually gets me pretty jazzed.
Sure. One last sweet card I want to talk about. So there's one common card in all of these that shows up in every set. In this set, I think it's called Thought Vessel. At the one we're looking at right now, it's in a different language.
We can look at the translation.
Oh, Thought Urn. Thoughts Urn. And it's a 2-mana mana rock, so it adds mana to your mana pool. And it makes you have no maximum hand size, which is a really powerful mechanic in Commander. Because, as we mentioned before, drawing cards is really important. You can draw a ton of cards in Commander, and so having no maximum hand size is sweet.
I like the first comment about it. Very good. I will use this in so many deck.
So many deck.
So many deck. Yeah, are you excited to play with these new cards?
Absolutely. I am probably going to just buy all the decks. I'm trying really hard to get my friends into Commander, so I'm thinking
if I... Is that why you're on this show right now?
Well, maybe.
We've figured out your motives. Yeah.
So, I don't know, buy a bunch of them and try to talk my friends into playing them with me. It's a good strategy if you're looking to get your friends into Commander. A little expensive, but I'll probably end up using the cards anyway for other decks.
Very cool.
Hey, Megan and I will play with some of the Commander decks you buy.
Yeah,
no problem.
We would do that.
Nice. That would be fun. That. I would do that.
Especially since we have yet to ever play, or I have yet to play ever play multiplayer Commander.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I've only ever played.
You've only played
1v1.
One-on-one, and I played a conspiracy multiplayer game, but that's been it.
Man, we should we should make this happen sometime.
Our friends at the Command Zone would be very proud of us.
They would.
Yes.
If you guys
would be very disappointed in us up until now.
That's true.
We're sorry.
We're sorry.
We're sorry.
We're sorry.
Guys.
You can hit us with a 5/5 beat stick. GP Atlanta.
Yo, Greg, you also went to GP Atlanta this past weekend.
Yeah, I did. So me and a few friends up here in Minneapolis decided to fly down for Grand Prix Atlanta. A lot of us had gone to Grand Prix Madison together, and some of us decided that we wanted to do more of the Grand Prix thing, try to get into professional and competitive Magic a little bit.
Yeah, nice. Grand Prix Atlanta, sealed deck.
Absolutely.
Yep. Battle for Zendikar.
At the end of day one, you were one of seven people at 9-0.
Yeah, that's true. I went undefeated on the first day at Grand Prix Atlanta, which was crazy.
What's that like?
Oh, man, it was absolutely ridiculous. I mean, as you would guess, my seal deck was crazy strong. I didn't really have any bombs per se, but the synergy was just so good.
Okay,
I had
tell us really slow what was in your deck.
Yeah, so I had all. How slow do you want? I can go real slow.
I'm just being really creepy.
It's Maria's thing.
It's my way.
It's my way. The show.
So what I had going on is that I had a lot of the blue-red Devoid creatures.
I knew it. Somehow I knew it.
I had a lot of Ruination guides who give your colorless creatures +1/+0, which are really good with cards like Eldrazi Skyspawner, who makes some Scion tokens.
Oh, yes.
So those get really big.
And it's just a good card on its own.
Yeah. I had Herald of Kozilek, who makes your colorless spells cheaper. I had the Brutal Expulsion card that's a bounce spell and deals 2 damage. I had 2 other bounce spells, the Clutch of Currents and some removal. So really what my deck did is it just put 2 or 3 creatures down with about 3 power. Maybe one of them is a Ruination Guide to pump the rest. And then it just bounce, 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 kill.
Oh,
And this eventually sounds like a dream. They are their life total is gone.
I love to play this kind of deck.
Absolutely. I thought it was fun at most games. At the end, I would have zero cards in my hand and my opponent would still have their full seven because I kept bouncing their creatures and they never got to play anything.
That sounds pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So at the end of day one, you were like, this is a player to beat. Like, you were up there on the board.
Yeah, Wizards of the Coast, in fact, wrote that in their article. They said that here are the seven undefeated players. These are the players to beat going into day two.
How did you feel, like, at the end? Were you, like, nervous? Like, oh my gosh, I better not lose tomorrow. Were you feeling just great and you had no expectations?
No, I was super excited. All these people, you know, in the middle of nowhere, Nowheresville, were reading my name and saying, oh, Gregory Michael, he must be a good Magic player or whatever. I don't know.
Well, it looks like you are Gregory Michael.
Well, I could.
He definitely, like, we've established that. That's who he is.
So day two, though, didn't go as well, but...
Yeah, day two didn't go too great. I think the luck kind of turned against me. You know, you can't go to one of these tournaments in 15 rounds and not have some rough rounds.
Unless you're LSV, in which case you can go 16-0 in the Swiss of a Pro Tour, but...
Sure.
That's LS.
That's true.
That's LS motherfucking V. Yeah.
So, and I was not as experienced drafting the format as I could be. I don't play any Magic online, which is where most people get their drafting experience. I did draft green, which was pretty controversial.
Oh, yeah.
I was clearly the only green drafter at the table. I saw the card Brood Monitor, which is a 6-mana 3/3 that makes 3 Scions.
I mean, great card.
It's a great card, and I got it 6th pick.
Oh my god.
And I said, man, wow. No one's in green. So I drafted literally almost all green deck. It was a really, really good deck. And okay, it went 1-2.
See?
Megan, you calm down right now.
That was not because green is bad. It's because the deck underperformed. One of my opponents had two Boiling Earths and a Radiant Flames in their sideboard.
That's insane.
And my deck was absurd. All Scions. I had 5 copies of Call the Scions. So.
Oh my god.
Whoa.
I am just gonna say though, like, not to say, I totally believe it. Like, we mentioned last week, if you're the only player in green, that I think is when it is at its most playable. But part of what convinced me that green is not worth playing in Battle for Zendikar is because I ended up in a lot of situations where I was like, this deck with green seems good on the face, and I feel like they always underperform for me. And well, part of me is like, oh, I could chalk that up to, like, it's possible that it's just that my variance is hitting, like, at those green decks. But it also makes me feel like maybe that's just what green decks do in this format.
Let me ask you this, Megan.
They look good, but they're bad and bad.
Who won this GP? It was Tom Martel.
It was Tom Martel.
Can I ask you, do you want to ask me what color he was playing in his draft?
He was playing green. I mean, I know.
And he beat Owen Turnwall. Owen Turnwall. Who was the guy who came justice. Out against green.
Delicious and amazing.
Yeah.
No, that's great. But I'm just saying, when you say it underperformed, I'm just saying, like, I agree. That's just, but that's just, I feel like been my experience with green is that I felt like it's consistently underperformed.
But I argue with Megan and say, I think that the Landfall deck is very strong and that I think it's just as good as, like, other colors. I mean, on par with, like, blue-black, which some people think is the best combination or whatever.
Oh, I don't...
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think,
I'm
Greg?
I'm a big fan of blue-white. At Madison, we talked about Madison before.
Uh-huh, the Flyers deck.
I did really well on the draft day because some of my friends who play a lot of competitive Magic came up to me and said, Greg, trust me, draft blue-white. And I was like, okay, maybe if it seems open. And both drafted seemed open, and I just drafted 2 absurdly powerful decks. So blue-white is great. Unfortunately, now everyone knows that blue-white is great because they've seen it do so well. So it's hard to draft that deck. Usually a lot of people are going for it. The green-red landfall deck's pretty sweet. Grove Rumbler is a really good card. That's one of the most important pieces. He's the red-green multicolor card.
Yeah,
and
trample.
With trample.
Tramp stamp. That's my new way
You're
to say
the
trample.
Only person who says that.
Thank you.
You're right. I meant that as a compliment. The phrase, you're the only person that says that, has always been a compliment.
A compliment, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah, I think it's an interesting conversation to have, and I like the fact that we're disagreeing about this to some extent, because it means that it's an interesting excuse me, and like kind of alive and vibrant format. And so I actually really like that this is a constant thing that people are arguing about.
I agree.
Absolutely.
So what was your finishing record, Greg?
So I finished at 11-4. So
wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, no, it was really great. I came in 47th, which was awesome. Like, it was such a cool thing to do. It's a little disappointing, and, you know, now I'll sound ridiculous, but, you know, when you go 9-0 and then you go 2-4, it's not, you know, it's a bit of a letdown, but, you know, I'm still incredibly excited and happy that I went 9-0 and did so well in the tournament.
Yeah.
So lost to a few pros. I got crushed by Ben Stark, who is a very good Magic player.
And a very good limited Magic player.
Especially that, yeah. I beat him one game. The first game, we both kept one land hands.
Oh my gosh!
We both mulliganed down to six and decided to keep one land hands. Mine had a bunch of two drops. His hand had at least two sludge crawlers. So at least he had something to do. And I drew lands, and he did not. So I won that game. But the other games were not close.
Nice.
That's awesome. That's another fun thing about going to Grand Prix is you have the chance to play some of the best players in the world, you know, and you're just sitting down across from them like you're at an FNM, like you're at a Tuesday night draft, and you're like, all right, let's go.
Absolutely. There are also Magic artists who will be there, and, you know, you can meet them and have some of your cards signed. There are other Magic celebrities, people who do the commentating
like
and things like
Megan.
That. Marie and Megan might be there.
You never know when you might meet a celebrity. Oh, awesome. Well, great job. Congratulations. You should feel
Thanks.
Great about that.
Yeah.
And hopefully we'll see some more awesome finishes from you in the future.
I'll try my best.
Hey, everybody. We're going to play some Lick, Pick, or Flick, which is a game we haven't played for a long time here on the podcast, where we pick some cards out of a Battle for Zendikar pack, and we choose whether we would lick them, meaning... They're really good.
They're just the most attractive
sexy
card.
Sexy card? I don't know.
Sexiest is that the card of the three.
Flick is we throw them away.
And pick is like the one that's actually a good
going
playable
in our deck.
Card.
Yeah. All right. So we're cracking a pack here of BFZ. What do we got?
All right.
Give us our first three options here.
Let's start out with, we have a Tightening Coils.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. We have an Eldrazi Devastator.
Ooh.
And we have a Royal's Retribution.
There are a lot of tentacles between these three cards.
Coming with
you. Oh boy. This is gonna get some crazy. Ooh, I don't even want to say what I'm thinking right now.
Nope.
But you all know what it is.
I'm literally blocking
but
my
you,
mind from
but you know.
Walking into whatever mind room your mind is currently in.
Oh, I think this is a clear pick, lick, or flick for me.
This one's difficult for me.
Yeah, I'm having trouble.
All right. Well, if I'm going to get devastated, it's going to be in the bedroom. And so I want to lick Eldrazi Devastator.
I'm with you on that one. I think for me, Eldrazi Devastator is the lick.
Yeah.
I think I'll go with that. Neither Royal's Retribution nor Tightening Coils
really
sounds very pleasant.
What if Tightening Coils was just a nice hug?
Well.
Okay. This is a nice hawk.
That turns into a strangle. Okay, I'm going to pick Tightening Coils because I think that's a good card.
As a fan of the Blue-White Flyers deck, Tightening Coils is sweet. It gets a creature out of there. They can't attack. And if all your creatures have flying, they can't block. So I'm down to pick Tightening Coils.
Yeah, I'm flicking that Royal's Ret all the way out.
For some reason, this was our first pick.
Yeah.
And we could only pick out of these two cards in a draft. I do think that I would go with Royal's Retribution first. Just because, as people have pointed out, like, it is very clear when you, like, leave up five mana. It's just like, something's going on.
Yeah.
But I do think that Tightening Coils loses a lot of value in the non-Flyers deck. So Royal's Retribution to me is just, like, a little bit... I feel like I'll feel more confident that I'm definitely going to play it. Whereas Tightening Coils is sometimes loses value if you're not flying. So that's me.
I don't know. What would you take, Greg?
You said Coils.
You're taking Coils? Okay. Honestly, I think I might take the Retribution.
Oh. That's my question.
I don't know. For the sake of the game, I'm down to pick Tightening Coils because I like that card better. But in an actual draft situation, getting into blue is so deep, everyone will want to be in blue, and sometimes it's a dangerous thing to jump into because you're just going to get cut off from all the people around you. Where white, I like white a lot in this format, so Retribution.
All right.
All right.
We are mostly in agreement there.
Now we have Void Attendant.
Hmm.
Munda Ambush Leader.
Okay.
And Mortuary Mire.
Whoa! All right. So you don't see it. I mean, Munda, nobody played. I've never had a Munda played against me.
I have. It was very good.
I had one, actually, at one of the games I lost at the Grand Prix was against Munda. We had to call a judge to ask if there are multiple allies revealed, if the opponent gets to know what order they go in. It turns out they don't. But multiple judges had to confirm
really?
That. Yeah, yeah, we had an appeal. It was an exciting process.
Ooh, this is a tough one.
I have to say, for me, the lick is definitely Munda.
Yeah, Munda's definitely a lick.
I think that's pretty clear.
Yeah.
I think we all need to be ambushed in here. What?
Devastated and ambushed?
We are very violent.
Oh, jeez.
Really violent bedroom situation. Like,
The void attendant looks so nice.
The void attendant's going to care for us. It's attending.
Yeah. Okay, but also you can see its ribs.
Okay.
Not its rib cage. You can see its ribs.
It needs to eat a sandwich. We're on board with that.
I'm not saying you can see its rib cage. You can see its ribs. Putting that out there.
And it turns trash into treasure for you, you know?
Oh, that's sweet.
It's like going dumpster that's diving true. With you.
Yeah, it takes exiled stuff and gives you little one-ones for it.
It raises little children for when you're ready to settle down.
Yeah.
And sacrifice them.
Tiny well. Little grubs. And we're flicking Mortuary Mire. Get out of here.
I'm ready to flick Mortuary Mire.
Is out of here. I mean, I think that the pick is also ambush leader.
I agree. I will say I've been let down by Void Attendant. So I might pick Mortuary Mire, which is a consistent card. Void Attendant, I feel like whenever I play it, my opponents just don't have anything in exile. And it's just a 2/3.
Green is, I think, harder to get things exiled for your processing
That's
fun.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. All right.
We have Demon's Grasp, Coral Helm Guide, and Natural Connection.
Oh my god!
Well, I think we all need to lick Natural Connection.
I don't know. What if you're licking Demon's Grasp?
I mean, if that's your thing, man, go for it.
Because I might want to pick Natural Connection because that's going to be my life mate, right?
What?
I want someone with whom I can have a natural connection.
But that's what you want. In this case, that's what you want to lick because pick, you're just going to play it. Who cares?
Oh, I thought the pick was like the Mary in this.
Oh, it's slightly altered. I don't know. It's kind of backward. I don't know.
Megan's having an existential
crisis.
Who
will guide you through the Coral Helm?
Oh,
if you don't pick the Coral Helm guide,
that's true. Like, what are life's complications if not Coral Helm?
If not just a bunch of coral that when you step on it, your foot bleeds.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
Keep you safe.
Well, I'm still going to go with licking Natural Connection.
Okay. All right.
But that's me.
I think I'm ready to pick Demon's Grasp. Taking removal is always pretty sweet. So I'm good to pick Demon's Grasp.
I agree.
Coral Helm Guide, I haven't been too excited about.
No.
We can flick him and then like Natural Connections.
Yeah.
That sounds like a plan.
Sounds like a Friday night to me.
Oh, gosh. We have a Lithomancer's Focus, that's just a basic land, an Ulamog's Nullifier, and a Plummet.
Okay.
I mean, Plummet, I always want someone who will jump off a cliff for me.
I agree. Plummet's definitely getting licked up in here.
I think the Lithomancer's Focus, though...
Oh, that's true.
Nahiri's pretty great. I don't know if that's actually Nahiri back there, but...
Or just some core Lithomancer.
Some cool core, doing some cool magic thing.
That's totally fair.
So very, like, focus, you know.
I mean, have you seen the pants the girl on Plummet's wearing, though? They are tight.
Oh, you are right.
Are we sure? I don't know that that's a lady, necessarily. They've got a very muscular butt, whoever they are.
I mean, I don't, I guess.
If you haven't looked at the art on Plummet, just take a look because you're going to be like, what? It's a little.
Dead ass, though. Dead ass.
It's a dead ass situation.
And it's an elf.
Well, I am personally ready to pick Ulamog's Nullifier.
Oh, yeah. All
here.
Day. All day.
That card is excellent.
This card is sweet.
Even if you can't process, just
no,
a 2/3 flying flash
is
phenomenal.
Is solid.
All right, the final two we can pair with our basic land.
Oh, no, I already put them away.
Oh, what were they?
They were Boiling Earth and Alter's Reap and Basic Forest.
Oh. I'm going to pick that forest.
I'm going to pick that forest.
All day.
I don't think I want to lick Boiling Earth or Alter's Reap, so
no.
Might have to go with the forest.
The forest as well.
You tree huggers. Tree lickers.
That wraps up our show for this week, you guys.
It sure does.
Greg, thank you so much for
joining
us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
We talked some sweet Commander spoilers. We had a great pick licker flick.
Yeah.
We heard a little bit about GP Atlanta.
It was
a good day.
If people want to like say hi to you online, how can they do so?
Well, I just made a Twitter.
Congratulations.
Because a lot of my friends wanted to follow my GP Atlanta progress. So I am at @magic_Michael with a P at the end.
Why?
So it's meant to be a joke on Magic Mike, because my last name is Michael. And the P at the end, at my work last year, there was a typo on my door. And instead of writing my normal name, there was a P at the end. And it became a joke among
Magic
my friends
Michael.
That my last name was Michael. So it Magic Michael was already taken by some Mexican DJ with 5 followers. So I had to add the P at the end.
Well, thanks for being on. It was awesome having you.
Yeah, it was really great being on, and it was excellent.
So if you guys want to find the show, you know where to find it by now. Come on, iTunes, or you can head over to Larian Community College on YouTube and check for this episode on Friday. You'll be able to find them there every Friday. We highly encourage it. Like we mentioned at the start of the show, there's a brand new number one first episode of Magic the Prothering there right now that you can go and listen to. Just don't do any work. Screw work. Get over there and listen to it. Eric Froelich, come on.
Yep. You can find us online. I am Ice Cream Socialist.
I'm Horny_Unicorny. And
follow
you can us on Twitter.
At MTAcast.
Yeah.
Find us online, again, at the Tolarian Community College YouTube page or at magictheamateuring.com.
Everybody out there, until next time, good luck, high five. Don't let your fives go low. Keep them up high. Put your sloths up.
Put your sloths up. Hashtag Welsh sloth scandal.